Part 3, Chapter 6. Johnny sat high on the blade machine. The aching cold wind blew puffs of snow, momentarily obscuring the compound. Johnny's attention was caught by the approaching crowd. Their combined footfalls made the earth shake. The place chosen for the demonstration was a small plateau jutting out from the compound. It was a few thousand square feet in extent, but ended in a sharp-edged cliff that dropped more than 200 feet into a ravine. There was room to maneuver, but one had to stay away from that edge. Turl came stomping toward him through the light snow. He stepped up on a lower frame of the blade machine to put his huge face near Johnny's.
"See that crowd?" said Turl.
Johnny looked at them. They were gathered by the compound. Zit was over to their left.
"See this speaker?"
He jostled a speaking horn thing in his hand. He had used it before in the drilling.
"See this blaster?"
said Turl, and he patted a belt handgun he had buckled on, a huge thing.
"If you do one thing wrong, or foul up in any way, I will gun you right off that rig. You'll be very dead. Splattered dead."
Turl reached up and made sure the leash was secure. He had wrapped it around the roll bar and welded the end to the rear bumper. It didn't leave much room for Johnny to move. His instructions had gone unheard by the small crowd. Now, Turl approached them and turned, stood with his huge feet apart, seemed to swell, and yelled,
"Start it up!"
Johnny started it up. He felt uneasy. A sixth sense was biting him, like when you had a puma behind you that you hadn't seen. It wasn't Turl's threats. It was something else. He looked over the crowd.
"Raise the blade!"
roared Turl through the horn. Johnny did.
"Lower the blade!"
Johnny did.
"Roll it ahead!"
Johnny did.
"Back it up!"
Johnny did.
"Put it in a circle!"
Johnny did.
"Now build a mound of snow from all angles!"
Johnny started maneuvering, handling the controls, taking light scrapes of snow, pushing them to a center. He was doing better than just making a mound. He was building a square-sided pile and leveling off its top. He worked rapidly, backing up, pushing in more snow. The precisely geometric mound took shape. He had just one more run to make inward, a run that would carry him toward the cliff a few hundred feet away. Suddenly, the controls did not respond. There had been a prolonged whirring whine in the guts of the control box, and every knob and lever on the control panel went slack. The blade machine yawed to the right, yawed to the left. Johnny hammered at the slack controls. Nothing bit. The blade abruptly rose high in the air. The machine rumbled relentlessly forward and rose up to the top of the pile, almost somersaulted over backward. At the top, it slammed down flat. Then it almost did a forward flip as it went down the other side. It was rolling straight toward the cliff edge. Johnny punched the kill button time after time, but it had no effect on the roaring engine. He fought the controls. They stayed slack. Wildly, he looked back at the crowd. He got a fleeting impression of Zit off to the side. The brute had something in its paw. Johnny strained at the collar that held him to this deadly machine. He tugged at the flexi-rope. It was as unyielding as ever. The cliff edge was coming nearer. There was a manual blade control to his left, held by a hook. Johnny fought to get the hook loose. If he could drop the blade, it might stick and hold. The hook wouldn't let go. Johnny grabbed in his pocket for a fire flint and banged the flint against the hook. The hook let go. By its own weight, the scraper blade came down in a swooping arc and gouged into the rocky earth. The machine rocked and slowed. There was a small explosion under the hood. An instant later, smoke shot up in the air, and a split second after that, a roaring tongue of flame rose. The cliff edge was only a few feet away. Johnny stared at it for an instant through the growing sheets of flame. The machine edged forward, buckling its scraper blade. Johnny whirled to the roll bar behind him. The flexi-rope was wrapped around and around it. Pressing the rope against the metal, he attacked it with the flint. He had tried it before, with no success, but on the verge of being yanked in flames 200 feet down, hope was all he had left. His back was getting scorched. He turned to face front. The instrument panel was beginning to glow red hot. The machine inched closer to the edge. Small explosions sounded as instruments burst. The searing metal of the panel's upper edge was glowing with heat. Johnny grabbed what slack he had on the flexi-rope and held it against the red-hot metal edge. The rope began to melt. It took all his willpower to hold his hands there. The flexi-rope dripped molten drops. The machine teetered. At any moment, the blade was going to go into vacant space to shoot the machine into thin air. The flexi-rope parted. Johnny went off the machine in a long dive and rolled. With a shuddering groan, the last support of the blade snapped. Flames geysered. As though shot from a catapult, the machine leaped into empty space. It struck far below on the slope, bounced, plunged to a stop, and was consumed in fire. Johnny pressed his burned hands into the cooling snow.